Welcome to I'm Screaming, a podcast for anyone who's ever felt like shamelessly screaming at the top of their lungs over a moment in pop culture.
Because sometimes pop culture can be scary and you just gotta let it out. Let's scream about it together.
Hello, Megan.
Hello, Giselle.
How are you?
I'm well.
Okay, yes, well. We're here.
It's Thursday.
Yes.
It's a Thursday in November.
It is
Veterans. It's Veterans Day.
11/11.
11/11. Make a wish.
We're wishing our favorite veteran a happy Veterans Day.
Adam Driver.
Happy Veterans Day. We love you.
We do love you, and we're glad. We're glad you're an actor now.
I mean, lots to talk about today, Meg.
Lots, because we're a few days behind, and yes, some stuff happened the last couple days, but also because we have a lot of things to go through from last week. Long list. I'm really excited. Shall we just jump in?
Yeah, we should. I mean, I think we have to start off with saying, in the tune of Keke Palmer, sorry to that man, Chris Evans. We are so sorry for you.
I'm not sorry.
Are we? Yeah, I mean,
if you don't literally buy, like, people literally buy Sexiest Man Alive. And this is what we're talking about, Sexiest Man Alive. Like,
they do.
Your publicist gets it for you.
Yeah. Because I'm like,
people doesn't have a hot man bracket the way we do and actually objectively pick who's the hottest man in the world. They do it based on who they think is best for this time.
And I'm like,
Paul Rudd has like multiple movies coming out right now.
Does he? And I'm trying to understand how Paul Rudd has secured the bag. He's great, but like, I'm like, there seems to be so many other men that could have taken this spot.
Well, they did a black man last year, Giselle, so they had to go back to the whitest white man that they could possibly find.
They absolutely could not.
I do love Paul Rudd. I do think he's
same. Very cute. He's lovely.
He's a good, seemingly good person. But I don't know. I really don't know how it works. It's interesting. It's like, last week, basically, this like headline drop from Page Six, and it was like, Chris Evans scoops People's Sexiest Man Alive 2021, right?
A thing he's been wanting for his whole entire career.
For so long. Like,
his publicist did not work hard enough this
year. She did not.
Buzz Lightyear did not secure him the bag.
Like, yeah. So, Paul Rudd has that Ghostbusters movie coming out.
Oh, yeah.
That needs all the publicity it could get. Also, he's going to be in this Apple TV Plus show that's based on a podcast that my company did, The Shrink Next Door, which everyone should watch. But I don't know. I guess, like, they just, like, have names that they rotate every year and, like, depends on who wants it the most. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to just be, I guess the rhyme or reason is that Paul Rudd is coming out with a Ghostbusters movie. And, like, what, last year was Michael B. Jordan, right?
Yeah, but I don't even know if he had any projects coming out.
Right. I'm like, so what? So how? Like, I understand.
Well, last year they had to do a black man.
Because they had never, right?
No, they had. They had.
It was like Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. Speaking of him, I watched the Harder They Fall movie.
Oh, yeah. And also John Legend was People's Sexiest Man Alive.
Oh, yeah. But it's always so chaotic. Like, remember when Blake Shelton was People's Sexiest Man Alive?
And Adam Levine.
Like, what? It's so chaotic to me. Paul Rudd, also I'm shocked Paul Rudd has never got it before.
Well, Paul Rudd is kind of like, I mean, he was like a comedy guy for so long. And then he like got ripped to do Ant-Man. And now he's kind of like more, I feel like more of a heartthrob than he's been since he was like in Clueless and Romeo and Juliet. When he was
not
younger.
Getting ripped to do Ant-Man, even though if you do care about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the impact Ant-Man has on the whole entire universe is actually so important.
People were so mean about it, and
people were mean,
and they're great movies.
They're funny as hell. The second Ant-Man is one of my favorites, I have to say. And Paul Rudd's good. We have a third Ant-Man movie coming, so like, hello, let's celebrate that.
I know.
I love this for Paul Rudd. I mean, come on, another white man. He's not my favorite white man, but he's not my least favorite white man, so I feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems a little silly that we're still even doing this.
Yeah.
This coming from the creators of the Hot Man
Bracket. I was going to say, because it's not our Hot Man Bracket, it feels a little bit underwhelming.
Right? Like, we already did it. We did it. We improved it. We made it better. So they should just stop.
So they should actually contract us.
That being said, we have decided to each nominate three men to be the I'm Screaming Sexiest Man Alive.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a sneak preview of the Hot Man Bracket, I guess.
Of next year.
But not really, because the two of us just each pick three people. And we're going to reveal it live to each other on this podcast right now. Why do I feel like we're definitely going to have overlap?
100%. You go first.
I have to go first.
Okay. Should we do one and then one and then one and then one?
Yeah. One and then one and then one and then one.
Okay.
My first man is a man who is the he is the moment right now. Oscar Isaac.
I mean, honestly, Megan. Megan.
Is he on your list too?
No!
Okay, good. I'm glad.
He's not, but it's so accurate because you know
Space
how much
Latinos.
I love him.
Space Latinos doing Space Latino things.
Space Latinos fucking unite. Where's the Mandalorian 2? Where's the Diego Luna?
They just announced actually that Andor show, the Cassian Andor show with Diego Luna, is going to premiere in Q4 2022. So
okay, come on.
Yes. So that's exciting. Okay, who is your first person?
I mean, I'm nothing but a consistent woman.
And I tried to be a little objective, I feel like.
Okay, this is objective. Adam Driver should be people's sexiest man alive. He's tall, he's big, he's talented, and he's not problematic. What more could you absolutely want? And he's, like, doing a fucking movie with Lady Gaga. He is the moment, everyone. He's had, like, five movies come out this year, and he's amazing, and he's the moment. And everyone who's saying that they don't like Adam Driver is a pick me.
I mean, I knew Adam Driver was going to be on your list. Okay. My second person is also obvious and also just like the fucking moment. Harry Styles.
Okay.
Come on.
Definitely.
What? What's that reaction?
No. I love this. I agree. Fully. Obviously.
Go girl, give us nothing.
No, I'm obsessed. Megan, Harry Styles is the motherfucking moment.
I know. I'm just teasing you.
You're just okay. Joshing me.
Go with your second person.
My second person is someone who maybe had more of a moment in the beginning of the year, but I think his lasting impact on culture and the world is so strong.
Okay.
And that's Daniel Kaluuya.
Oh, yes. He came to mind, but agreed with you that it was like a more of a moment in the beginning of the year, and we're kind of missing him now. But I did just watch his chicken shop date the other night.
It's the best.
And
one.
I just have to tell the listeners that if you have not watched Daniel Kaluuya on Chicken Shop Date, you have to go and watch it right now. It is maybe the most sexually charged five minutes everything. On the internet.
It's absolutely everything and more. I can't even believe.
Okay, my last one. My last one, I feel like probably to the larger public is a little more niche, but
I know who you're going
to
say.
This podcast. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you want to guess who I'm going to say?
Is it Jay?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Damn.
It's not Jay. Even though if it was my person,
because you said it's niche.
I tried not to just do my top five hottest men, right?
Right.
Like a little bit. No, Jonathan Majors.
Okay, iconic. Iconic. He really is the moment.
He is the moment. Lovecraft Country.
Yes.
I know that was like a bit ago, but I watched it this year. Loki. He's going to be like so important in phase four of and five of the MCU. And he's about to host Saturday Night Live on Saturday.
No, he's the moment.
And like he's in The Harder They Fall. I heard he's like, I really need to watch it. I've been meaning to
he's
watch
amazing
it.
In it. I mean, he is
to be,
amazing.
Like, really hot in it. Like he's he's having a moment and more people should be paying attention. And also he like is very, very sexy to me. Boom. Those are my three.
Okay. My last one, a hot man that has always been hot, but this year has really just, you know, appeared because he, what?
I'm sorry. I just think I might know who you're going to say, but keep going.
Okay. So of course I had two people that I had to choose between for this. This is what I texted you. I was like, there's two.
Right.
I'm going to say both.
Okay. But who's the one you're picking first?
So the one I'm picking, because I do believe this person, in the eyes of the world, maybe would take the spot swifter than the second man, okay, is Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Oh, good one. Good one, good one,
the
good one.
The thing about one. Yahya Abdul-Mateen is that man is just good to look at. Like he is the quintessential hot man. Like, and I think he's objective. Similarly to like a Michael B. Jordan or, you know, many would say a Chris Evans. he's very much objectively hot. And he was, of course, in Candyman. And he's going to be in Aquaman 2. And he was in the Chicago Trial.
He was
Chicago
in Aquaman
7,
1. Did you ever
and
see
he was
Aquaman?
I did. Yeah. And he was in Watchmen. He won an Emmy, right? For that?
Yes.
Golden Globe Emmy. So he's 6'3". He's 35. Like, very much like the prime.
Right there.
He's like right there.
In the sweet spot.
So Yahya Abdul-Mateen is who made the cut.
Okay.
And
who is your alternate?
My alternate, who should not be considered an alternate because he's iconic, is Simu Liu.
Oh my god, I
can never pronounce his
name.
I
was thinking of him too. I thought of him.
Because he is the moment also. Shang-Chi was such a fucking good movie, and they beat all the odds that people put against them, and he's fucking funny and he's hot. So boom.
Amazing.
Who did you think I was gonna say?
For some reason, I thought you were going to say Channing Tatum, but he's already been people's
sexiest
man alive.
That's an underdog, though.
But he's already been it.
Yeah, but also he's been sexy recently. I've never,
right,
this is what happens.
What
he
said.
Dates
that's
someone.
That's why when you said, like, people have, like, thought he's hot, but, like, he's really come on this year. I'm like, yeah, because Zoe Kravitz. Like, made him hot the way J-Lo is making Ben Affleck hot again.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It's like I said this, like, Channing Tatum is now... I mean, he can really take the spot, but it's a resurgence for me.
He's already had it. It's fine.
True. Okay. Well, that was our chat about people's sexiest man alive and our sexiest man alive. So out of the, I guess, six, you don't have to include my last one. Out of the six we said, which are Oscar Isaac, which low-key I may pick, Adam Driver, Harry Styles, Daniel Kaluuya. Jonathan Majors. And Yahya Abdul-Mateen. Who is your People's Sexiest Man Alive? I'm Screaming edition.
Are you asking me or are we asking the listeners?
I'm asking the listeners.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll post something on our Instagram.
And we'll do a mini hot man bracket.
Let us know what you think.
Yes.
About the men. And also let us know if you have any suggestions of who should be People's Sexiest Man Alive. We want to get obscure. I want to really find those hidden gems.
Oh, 100%.
But, once again, sorry to this man, Chris Evans. He'll be fine. He's a very, very rich 40-year-old white man.
He's literally good forever. He could do nothing for the rest of his life and have money and put money.
Literally.
Okay, speaking of people that are involved in Marvel movies, I think the people have been waiting for this, Meg.
Our Eternals review. I'm like, we need to spoil it. Like, I can't restrict myself.
Hello, everyone.
I'll put the time. It's fine. We can just go ahead and just, like, we can start off with, like, our general thoughts, and then once we'll start spoiling it. Because, like,
okay.
I feel like I want to talk about it.
Oh, always. Okay, so go ahead. I feel like something's on your spirit.
No, I was just going to say, Giselle, how did you like Eternals?
I fucking loved it, which is not a shock to anyone that knows me or has ever met me or
anyone
knows
with
you.
Ears who's ever listened to this podcast knows that we fucking loved Eternals.
I mean, it's just, let's be real. Like, it's such a shame, honestly, for me. Like, after seeing it, obviously I felt this way before, we watched it because, like, we knew we were going to love it. But after seeing it, like, it's such a shame that people are so, like, butthurt and, like, so in their own heads and in their own assholes that they can't fucking, like, enjoy something that's good and diverse and different and new and fun. Like, it's annoying.
Yeah. The discourse got, like, way too big for itself. I think, like, there are some people who have had complaints about the movie. Like, I'm not going to call it, like, a perfect movie because it's not a perfect movie. But, like, there are some people who took, like, the gripes that they had with the story or with some characters or with some decisions that were made in the movie, like, and built it up into this thing where they were like, well, it's different and I don't like this it because of this reason. And, like, I don't know what it is. It was just, like, it was really frustrating because it's, like, Rotten Tomatoes is broken. Like, the way that they aggregate, like, scores on Rotten Tomatoes is stupid anyway. It's, like, already, like, there are critics out there who are saying that anyway, right?
Right.
But also, it just, like, it got steamrolled where, like, the critics were all saying that they didn't like it, right? And yes, majority of the critics that they let see it at first were middle-aged white men who, like, you know, are just going to be that way. There's that whole, like, clip that's been circulating of Brie Larson talking about, like, if you don't let, you know, diverse critics in the room, like, those kind of movies aren't going to get made. Those kind of movies are just going to be, like, shit on by, like, the white men who, like, have always been allowed in the room, right? That could be true. It could also be true that they just didn't like it because they didn't like it. But then the conversation online got to be so much that it was, like, all the MCU stans were, like, fighting back against that. And then there's also, like, the people who were, like, review bombing it on IMDb because of the gay character. And, like, it just got to be so much that then, like, I just wish I had not seen any of the discourse beforehand. And, like, I still really loved it, but it just, like, it made me so nervous to go see it rather than, like, excited. And, like, I just wanted, I really did want to like it. And I did, thank God. But it just sucks because I think, like, it's that whole conversation online also distorted some people's, like, perspective on it and also, like, maybe, like, put a damper on their experience.
Totally. So, and it's just, like, it's what we talk about so much, and we've talked about this on this in person on this podcast so many times, but it's like these kind of movies don't just get to be made to be made, right? Like, the fact that Chloe Zhao directed this, the fact that, you know, there's a gay character, a deaf character, like, of course that just, it just means discourse has to be had. But in reality, like, why can't Chloe Zhao direct this and it just be a movie that Chloe Zhao directed, right? Like, that's the thing. Right. It's like, inherently, because it's diverse, it means it's opened up to criticism, and in the way of, like, criticism by way of, like, prejudices or whatever, right? Or discourse. But, like, Chloe Zhao, the actors of Eternals, the writers of Eternals didn't ask for this movie to be a piece of culture in the way that it's going to create discourse, right? Like, they created a Marvel Cinematic Universe film. And, like, Thor Dark World's gonna get made and Taika Waititi's just gonna sit there and, like, fucking live his life with Rita Ora, right? Like, I mean, all these movies are gonna keep getting made and they're not gonna have to be, like, open to discourse. And even, like, what Brie Larson was saying about Captain Marvel and all of it, like, Captain Marvel was just a movie about Captain Marvel, but because it was the first female-led, like, Marvel movie, open to discourse. It's like, sorry, like, they didn't ask, right? Like, that's what's annoying. And we talk about this for award shows, too. It's like, it all becomes something because people can't just allow women, people of color, queer representation, like, disability, like, representation and disabilities, like, they won't let us live, right? Like, they're like, it's like our existence begs for discourse. And I think that's what's so frustrating for me about this movie. It's like, a woman can't just make a cool piece of culture and have it exist, right? It's now because she's a woman, because Chloe Zhao is a woman and all this, like, and an Asian woman at that, like, it somehow has to play into her directing of the Eternals, regardless of if it did or not. I think that's what's annoying for me.
Right. And I mean, like, there was, like, this someone, like, did, like, a video where they were talking about how, like, you know, critics hate this movie because Chloe Zhao is a woman and, like, they're, like, notoriously, like, you know, hard on female directors. And then, of course, it's like I saw so many people on Twitter, and like when I was like on the tag, which I shouldn't be because it's just like annoying me, right? Be like critics themselves be like, that's wrong because like we gave this movie like 90%, or like, you know, like we critics loved this movie. And it's like, but that's the thing. It's like you're still coming, like you're like a white man coming from this perspective place of like, I need to defend myself and my colleagues because like, how dare they say that I have any sort of prejudice? And it's just like, it all becomes so much rather than like just go and fucking enjoy a movie about like 7,000-year-old like aliens.
Literally.
Just literally hopping like around with their powers.
Exactly. So all of that to say, like, that is frustrating because I said it, like, it's annoying when that kind of shit happens. But regardless of that shit, the movie was lit. I loved it.
I mean,
I could use a lot. I mean, let's even talk about the characters. We've got we've got the lovely Gemma Chan, who, you know, did a great job of leading the film. Stared into the abyss a little.
She really did for me.
But that's
she really
fine.
Do be staring into space.
but she did a great job.
Took a while to kind of, you know, figure out what she was gonna do with herself. Yeah, but she's just like maybe the most, like I've said this 100 times, like maybe the most beautiful person like walking the earth right now. Like she is so stunning. Then we have Icarus, played by Richard Madden.
The thing about it is, like, I, of course, like, the two main characters are the two, like, quote-unquote most beautiful. But, like, the side characters really stole the show for me.
No,
like,
completely.
I mean, wow.
Completely. So I guess, like, maybe we're about to get into spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled for Eternals, like, we'll hit you up with the with where to skip to. But, like, yeah, the main romance, the main relationship is between Gemma Chan and Richard Madden, and it's been talked about in the lead up and about how they're like great friends in real life, and they've been in like this characters have been in love for centuries. And it was very, that was something that was like a gripe I had with the movie. Like I felt like that was completely, and I think a lot of people are having it, like this seems to be the discourse on TikTok. Every other TikTok on my feed is is about Makari, played by Lauren Ripoff, who's the first deaf superhero. She's the speedster, which I thought all this, I thought like was, she was iconic. Not
she was iconic.
Her, not enough of her in the movie at all.
No.
And Druig, played by Barry Keoghan.
Also scene stealer.
Scene stealer. And
chemistry
like, have,
off the fucking
they have
charts.
This little romance going on, this little chemistry, and literally, truly, like the end of their, like, when they like run up to each other on the beach and like whatever, we were screaming like, kiss, kiss! And of course they didn't. But no, Richard Madden and Gemma Chan got a sex scene, so it's fine.
No, but what, literally, just that in general, like, the amount of chemistry and heart I felt for that relationship and their, like, few little exchanges.
4 minutes, like, 4 minutes of screen
time. When she was, like, beating the shit out of Richard Madden for, like, almost killing Druig,
yeah.
I was, like, crying. I was, like, felt so much emotion, but, like, literally at any other point when Icarus was doing anything, I was, like, I can't care. Richard Madden, you're so boring.
You're
I'm sorry.
You're so hot, but
you're
so,
so
boring.
Hot, but so boring.
So boring. And the Icarus metaphor was a bit too on the nose for I think
not the actual flying into the sun.
But do you think that like just getting ahead of ourselves a little bit? But do you think that he is dead or do you think he's coming back? I think he's coming back.
He's
I don't think he like
100% coming back.
Either he did fly all the way into the sun and then he's just going to be brought back by Arishem, the celestial, or he is. Or he didn't. He was just being dramatic and like.
Yeah, he's definitely coming back. There's no way.
They're
not going to
sure.
let Kit Harington get away that fast.
We did have Kit Harington as Dane Whitman. He was Gemma Chan.
He was great.
Cersei's boyfriend. We loved him. I thought they had great chemistry. I wish he was in it a little bit more. His post-credit scene is exciting for so many reasons, mostly because we got to hear Mahershala Ali as Blade for the first time.
I am so excited.
So exciting. I'm so excited that he's also already being a part of the larger universe as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get his...
Kevin Feige is a fucking genius. I'm sorry. He's iconic.
Kev Daddy.
Kev Daddy is fucking iconic. And I don't care what anyone says. I know there's a lot of people that go into making these decisions. But the entities under Kev Daddy, you're fucking iconic.
Yes, we love Kevin. Who else are we going to talk about? We got Sprite,
How have you not talked about your favorite
person? Well, I was going to save the best for last.
Yes, Sprite. Sprite, who took me on a fucking roller coaster, but I thought that the Sprite character was, like, good all in all. And I think, like, the Sprite character made better by none other than Kumail Nanjiani, who was fucking iconic the whole time for me.
He was really funny. I mean, people were, like, talking about how his jokes were so stupid. I thought he was funny. He made
And his partner, like, the guy... Karoon. He was the scene stealer for me.
Scene stealer.
He was amazing.
The MVP. You know that sound on TikTok that's like, I liked the movie The Boss Baby, but if I were a critic, if it were up to me, a little less baby and a little more boss. And it was like, a little less baby, The Eternals, a little more boss, and then just like Karoon.
He was amazing. He was so cool.
And I thought it was really interesting. I mean, like, I think some people were frustrated by the choice. Some people, I'm just interested by it that like Kumail Nanjiani's character Kingo wasn't involved in like the last like battle kind of situation.
Oh yeah, we were talking about this, and I actually loved that they did that.
Yeah,
because
he just kind of like made this decision to be like, I can't agree with you, and I don't want to fight you.
Yeah, so he's like his one thing he said. I loved this part. He was like, no matter what, like family doesn't hurt family, and he didn't want to like. Hurt Icarus or didn't want to hurt the rest of them, so he just like left, and like at the end he was like, I'm glad we all followed our hearts. That's what he said. When he was like, him and Sprite were like going to wherever, and I like loved that. I thought that was so cool. I mean, also we can't even forget Angie.
Well, yes, Angie was kind of like a surprise. I was like worried that it was gonna be weird, but I thought she was great, and I loved her whole relationship with Gilgamesh. Rest in peace.
I was so happy that she was not the main character of the movie. Like, I thought but at first it was like displacing me because she's such a big star, and then like as we got into it more and like her relationship with Gilgamesh really grounded it, like, oh, I fucking loved that. And him dying so soon was like so depressing for me,
but like shocking. I wasn't expecting it at all.
And Salma Hayek dying so soon.
I did love, just to stay on Angie for a second, I did love, because spoiler alert, but like we have been kind of hinting at this, is that Icarus kind of like betrays the Eternals and goes against them and ends up killing Ajax, Salma Hayek's character. But I loved when he came back to the ship as like the climax of the movie was kind of starting, and Angie was standing there, and he was like, you've never fought me before. And she was like, nope, but I've always wanted to.
Yes. No, Angie was cool.
That was really iconic.
One more thing about just like, I love the movie, obviously, but like the deviance, like I just felt like that storyline was like not fully baked. Like we got it, and it was like a plot point, and it was supposed to be like a big plot point. But like midway through the movie, I thought they were like, because the way they were setting up was like, the main deviant who was basically like evolving into like a higher power, higher creature or whatever, kept being like, we're both from the same like father basically. So like I thought they were gonna do some sort of like team up thing.
Yeah.
But they just killed them.
I think that could eventually happen, because what I've been reading, obviously, like Harry Styles is in it and he's Thanos' brother. Thanos is also an Eternal technically in the comics, but he's an Eternal with the deviant gene, so that's why he looks the way that he looks, so ugly, like a purple thumb. I think deviants are just like motivated by destruction and like harming things and like life. So I think even though like they kind of had the same goal of like, they realized that Arishem, the celestial that created them, was like actually like trying to destroy the earth, but I don't think that like the deviants could like overcome their desire to just like destroy.
Yeah,
that's kind of like where I've come to with it. I do agree, I don't think that the like arc was completely fleshed out. Again, like, we love the movie, it's not a perfect movie,
right?
But I think like it sets up for some really interesting like stuff in the future.
I also just love the way it like ties the whole Thanos story in like a little bow, you know.
I know. I mean, like, have you been seeing any of the TikToks where people were like, wait, like, the Avengers owe Thanos an apology. He was trying to stop the emergence by disappearing half the universe. He was trying to stop Earth from being destroyed. But yeah, I mean, did we get all the Eternals except for Brian?
Yes.
We did, right? So, Brian Tyree Henry's He's a superhero.
Did you guys know?
All seriousness, like, genuinely, not just because, as the listeners of this podcast know, I love
him.
We
love him, yeah.
But genuinely, for me, he was my favorite part. He was not in it enough. When he came into it, he was, like, he gave us the best acting.
He was the heart of the movie. Yeah.
He gave us the funniest moments. And I'm proud. I'm just very proud.
It was amazing.
And I wish he was in it more. But I do feel like he'll be back and hopefully be a more central part of whatever's next. I don't know if it's gonna, what do you think? Do you think it's gonna be like Eternals 2? Or
I think it's gonna be like
a different title, but like they're all gonna be in it. Because it did end on a cliffhanger in that the remaining three Eternals on Earth,
I think it's gonna be like
Kingo and Phastos, were taken by Arishem. And now Harry Styles has come, Eros has come to help the other Eternals find them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's like, we got a lot of storylines going on right now. So, like, even thinking about what we have coming up in for the rest of Phase 4, it's like, we haven't even seen Spider-Man yet. We still have to have Multiverse of Madness, Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. We still have to have Captain Marvel 2, the Marvels. We still have to have Quantumania. We still have to have Thor 4. Like, we still have to have, like, all these shows. So, like, I think that the Eternals are obviously going to, like, be a part of these bigger movies. But I don't think we'll get another Eternals movie for, like, 2 or 3 years. But also I could see it doing the thing where it's, remember, it was, like, Captain America Civil War, but it was really, like, an Avengers movie?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's how the role the Eternals are going to, like, play for a while. I think they'll get a second movie, but like, we're gonna have to deal with them being gone before they get Eternals 2. Like, we're gonna have to save them before Eternals 2.
Right. It could just be like that they're completely separate, though, you know, like that it's not, they're not really interacting with like necessarily like Spider-Man or anything like that. Like,
or
they did that with Avengers, but it doesn't, because the multiverse opens it up to so many possibilities. Like, it could be, like, a completely different situation, like, a completely different kind of, like, though, like, Celestial sets up for Galactus, which is Fantastic Four. So, like, it still is all bringing in all stuff that's going to be coming up, basically.
Yeah, I think definitely, I think we're going to have to, like, deal with our current heroes for a little bit, but I think, like, the Avengers are going to have...
Deal with.
I think the Eternals are going to come in like, random ways. Like, you said Harry Styles signed on for, like, 5 fucking movies. Like,
well, that's the rumor. I don't think that's been confirmed, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think we'll deal with, like, the aftermath with our current heroes.
As in what? As in Spider-Man, Doctor Strange...
Thor.
The Guardians. Like Loki Season 2, just all... Is it, like... It's getting so big.
I know, Meg, my brain kind of hurts, but...
And we haven't even watched
We haven't even... And we literally... I know, but we also literally have, like, the fucking Marvels and Black Panther 2. Like, we haven't even had a Black Panther 2 or a Captain Marvel 2. We already have, like, 5 million other heroes. Like, it's... And we still have shows and Blade, and Blade is already introduced. Like, it's just crazy.
I know. I'm like... I thought maybe they would give Dane Whitman, a.k.a. Kit Harington, his own Disney Plus show. But now I'm like... Is his origin thing going to be
in Blade?
With Blade?
Yeah. Also, like, where does Moon Knight play into all this?
Don't ask me that, Giselle.
But always, I mean, Oscar Isaac on the brain.
Always Oscar Isaac on the brain. People's more deserving sexiest man alive.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, genuinely, that was so chaotic of us describing Eternals, but we loved it. We'd love to hear what other people thought of it, what questions, concerns people have about the future of the MCU. But you brought up something that is on our list, which is Black Panther 2.
Yes.
Which, basically, it sucks. I feel like it's going to get delayed.
I mean, we were talking about this a little bit ago, and I was like, Megan... Letitia Wright is basically fucking up Black Panther 2.
Right.
For many reasons. Well, the first being, like, she won't get vaxxed, which, like, wasn't the initial problem. But then she got hurt, and so she had to go home. And now she can't travel because she's not vaxxed.
So, and like, basically, this also is like insinuating that she's like basically going to be like the main character of the new movie, which also sucks because she's an anti-vaxxer. And yeah. I mean, end of the day, and this is like no one's fault, but like it fucking sucks that Chadwick Boseman is no longer with us for so many reasons. But for this movie, it also just completely fucks everything, right? Like, that they want to do, or any sort of thing that they want to do. And having her now be at the center of it also makes me mad, because I feel like whoever is, like, continuing it on should, like, uphold the legacy, and yeah. It doesn't feel that way, right?
I know. It really does just, like, fucking suck. It's like, Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman just meant so much to so many people for, like, all the things that he was. And you're right. Like, it just feels like, ugh. Like, I just want the Black Panther legacy to all just be, like, upheld with such, like, reverence. And it feels like with
Tisha Ridley. And, like, grace and, like, dignity and everything, the way that, like.
I'm like, fucking give me, a like, an origin story about Angela Bassett, for all I care. Like, right. You know what I mean?
I mean,
give me Lupita.
Is it, like, worse? Like, obviously, Disney immediately made the decision, and Marvel made the decision that they were going to recast T'Challa. But what is it better? Would it have been better to wait a couple of years and bring someone in? Or, like, bring someone in who can take over that mantle in, like, a respectful way, right?
Yeah. I get the idea of Shuri being, like, holding the mantle, but, like, not when it's Letitia.
Right. And I saw a tweet that was like, I'm gonna have a really hard time believing that Shuri is the smartest person in Wakanda now that I know that Letitia Wright is an anti-vaxxer.
I know. It sucks.
But yeah, I mean, I guess, like, TBD on that. Like, I mean, if she can't get vaxxed, just fucking recast her.
At this point.
Or she won't get vaxxed, you know what I mean? Like, recast her. Do it. And get
I saw a discourse on TikTok about, like, people being like, yeah, recast Letitia Wright. And, like, some people were, commenting on other people being like, cast Amanda Lee Steinberg. Cast, who's the other light-skinned girl that everyone always puts that's not Zendaya? There's three.
What's her name? I can see her face. I can't think of her name.
I can't think of it. But basically, they were like, cast some light-skinned person. And it's like, literally, Wakanda is like, sorry, like, purebred African. Like, there's, like, also, like, give opportunities for dark-skinned people.
Right. I think someone suggested that.
Zazie Beetz, maybe? Did someone say Zazie Beetz? Even though she was great in Hard They Fall. But she's great. I like Zazie Beetz. But.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said someone, and I can't remember their name, but there was some, and it was a darker skinned black woman, and I was like, yes, because, like,
Kiki Layne, low key, like,
oh my god, could you
come on, let's do that. Kiki Layne would be good.
Wow. From, okay, so you heard it here first, we are absolutely recommending Kiki Layne to replace Letitia Wright in Black Panther 2 and further Marvel projects, because she's iconic and gorgeous and
amazing,
and a really good actress. Oh, I love that idea, Giselle.
Boom.
But anyway, that's all we have to say. I mean, but this does kind of lead into another subject that we have, because we also want to talk about another anti-vaxxer.
Yeah.
Which is Aaron Rodgers.
It's so much for me, Meg.
Also,
what's Shailene Woodley talk? Like, she's chaotic for me.
Okay, so I can explain. I can get the whole situation ready for you. Basically, last Tuesday, it came out that Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it also came out that he had not been vaccinated. And people thought he had been vaccinated, because back during training camp in August, a reporter straight up asked him, are you vaccinated? Like, what are your thoughts about this? And mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, I'm immunized. So basically, he thought he was being cute. He thought he was being clever and smart.
Right,
and,
like, right.
Better. And basically tried to pull a fast one on everyone. So basically, because he had COVID, he was out, couldn't be at the facility or anything, but he decided to go on a podcast on last Friday and basically go on a rant about how, about cancel culture and the woke mob, while also still trying to insinuate that he's not a conservative, that he is a liberal or whatever, and that he was going on about how conservatives are gonna like champion me and liberals are gonna vilify me because I'm not vaxxed, but like I listen to my friend Joe Rogan and I use like all of the tactics that he has talked about on his podcast. He was taking ivermectin, basically just like completely went on this like insane anti-vax rant, and also said, which was the thing that cracked Vera up the most, was that he said the only time he doesn't wear a mask is when he's around vaccinated people, which just like actually proves the point that does work, because why would you care then that they were vaccinated?
It's so foolish.
Basically just a clown. Now, when this came out, he's engaged to Shailene Woodley, the weirdest couple on planet Earth.
To come out of 2021.
And basically, a lot of people were like, oh, Shailene, run. And then everyone was reminded that Shailene Woodley makes her own medicine, mm-hmm. eats, like, clay.
She's so weird.
And, like, has, like, multiple times, like, sold all her possessions, like slept on people, like, slept on her friends' couches, whatever. That's, like, a whole thing. But just to say that she lives this very boho kind of, like,
yeah.
alternative lifestyle.
Ties herself to trees and shit.
Right. Yeah. And, like, obviously also isn't vaxxed and also is probably, like, whatever. So obviously a lot of uproar about this. Basically, like, Aaron Rodgers just thinks he's smarter than everyone, made himself look like a fool. It's absolute bullshit. He, like, ended up going back on the podcast a few days later because he was, like, embarrassed and was wearing, I don't know if you saw this, but when he went on the podcast the second time, he was wearing a Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker sweatshirt. And so Rise of Skywalker was trending because everyone was like, okay, like, I now even trust him even less because he's wearing, like, the worst Star Wars movie sweatshirt. But basically something happened the other day.
Yes, I think it was, yes.
It was the Daily Mail or something. Basically took a photo of this guy walking in L.A., and claiming it was Aaron Rodgers, which, like, would, A, be against, like, his quarantine because he's still, you know, under quarantine. He's in Wisconsin because right. he plays for the Packers. And B, like, it doesn't really look like him. But basically, Shailene Woodley took to her Instagram stories, screenshotted these posts, and basically went on an insane rant, like, absolute high comedy, camp, ridiculousness. Quote, literally, y'all need to calm the fuck down. This is straight up hilarious. News outlets still grasping at straws to disparage Aaron, finding random fucking men on the streets of LA saying it's him. I know Aaron's body very well. First off, his feet, ahem, and no offense to this rando dude, are a lot bigger. Also, for those of us who know Aaron beyond the worlds of obsessed sport and shit, sport and whatever media, it's blocked out on people and whatever, sports media, whatever. It's no secret he has the hairiest hands on the fucking planet. This oblivious homie clearly does not. Go ahead, zoom in.
What?
Yeah. So basically, like, completely went off and, like, just made herself look like even more of a clown.
It's
just like
chaos.
This again, though, is why, like, and obviously, like, we have our favorite celebrities who we love and whatever, but, like, celebrities are so stupid.
They're
so dumb, and they really do, like, no matter how, like, humble they may come across or, like, pretend to be, they all just, like, think they're smarter, think they're better than, mm-hmm. like, us humble plebeians, right?
Right.
And these two people, these two absolute clowns, think that because they, like, have some sort of, like, weird voodoo doctor that they, you know, can, like, immunize themselves from COVID without the vaccine.
Of course.
And it's just embarrassing.
Very.
But that's the story of those two. And Aaron Rodgers, I think, has lost a lot of sponsorships, which is good.
Yeah, it's very good.
And but he's still, you know, he said he didn't lie. He's still saying he didn't lie about being vaccinated because he said he was immunized.
So stupid.
I can't with the entitlement and the ridiculousness.
It's like, enough!
And the chaos of Shailene Woodley.
No, she, to me, is the most chaotic. Like, I can't.
Absolutely bonkers.
I cannot.
Anyway, we have a few more things on our list still. What do we want to do next? I don't know if I can find a clean... should we do the one more thing about the negative person that we don't like?
Yeah.
Basically, even after we talked about him last week and hated on him last week,
he doesn't go away.
Chris Pratt still has decided that he has to be just an awful person. Basically, last week, he posted an Instagram story or an Instagram post for his wife, Katherine Schwarzenegger, in anticipation of her birthday in a couple weeks or something, and basically went on a rant about what would you call it, Giselle? Just a completely like trying to be like cutesy and funny, but
like he gushed about deeply, her, but
deeply
like
toxic and like misogynist. I'll read some of the caption. Guys, for real, look how she's looking at me. I mean, find you somebody that looks at you like that. You know, we met in church. She's given me an amazing life. A gorgeous, healthy daughter. She chews so loudly that sometimes I put in my earbuds to drown it out, but that's love. She helps me with everything. In return, periodically, I open a jar of pickles. That's the trade. Her heart is pure, and it belongs to me. My greatest treasure right next to my Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card, which if you know is saying a lot. It's her birthday in about 6 weeks, so if I don't get her anything, I'll tell her to look back on this post. Love you, honey.
It's just like, what?
Absolute bonkers. Like, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively do this on Instagram where they, like, make fun of each other and they're like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But they both do it to each other, and it's 100% obvious sarcasm, and it never gets that, like, gross and weird the way, you know... And basically then what people picked up on and why it ended up going viral and people ended up getting really mad at him is because he made a point to write that she gave him a gorgeous, healthy daughter.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mention of his son from his marriage to Anna Faris, who... I mean, I read Anna Faris's book. I don't know if you like knew all about this, but... like had like some serious health problems. He was born premature and like had a bunch of surgeries as a baby and like is doing well now, but like was like had struggles.
Right.
So people basically went off on Chris Pratt on Twitter, just absolutely tearing him down completely. I mean, like, I don't care because I don't like him. And I also agree. I think he's a bad person.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was another trending topic last week. And then he posted, I didn't even watch any of that video. I know I sent it to you, of his like story where he talked about how he went to bed feeling so sad and depressed.
But then he was like, God is here.
God is here and lifting me up. And he was wearing like fully like three different pieces of clothing with different American flag patterns on them, which is just like, regardless of anything, I don't think it's a look.
No, he sucks. He really sucks. Like,
but of course, Giselle, then the next day it was like James Gunn posting a photo from the start of filming of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And he's like right there. So once again, I just say, I feel like I say it every week on this podcast now, cancel culture isn't real.
It's not real. It's not real. And like people like we, like it's just like it's just, ugh, it irks me. It irks me. He irks me.
He irks me so much. So much.
Like, just don't say anything at all. Right. You're weird. Why did you post that? I don't understand.
I'm saying he thinks he's cute. He thinks he's funny. But people find that endearing.
So many like, weird people like him. Like, I just, I like... It's like, please let it go, everyone. Please. Can we agree on anything? It should be the fact that we don't like Chris Pratt.
Like that's it's easy. He's obnoxious and annoying. Like we should
It's so easy.
It's like we should all be feminists. We should all dislike Chris Pratt.
It's so simple for people to get on board. Please do that.
Anyway, I feel like we can get into some more positive stuff now.
Yes.
What do you want to tackle first?
Should we tackle just a quick, like, Tom Holland? Because it's, like, feels adjacent in some
we
way,
We also
shape, or
very
form.
Much, this podcast, are champions. We are, is, are. I don't know what tense I would use there. We hear it, I'm screaming. Our champions of Tom Daya, as the internet calls them.
It's fucking iconic. Like, I'm sorry. If you're not a champion of Tom Daya, what the fuck are you doing?
I'm sad for you. It's so fun.
It's so fun. Tom Holland is
a queen, and Tom Holland is whipped, and he worships the ground she walks on. It's actually quite cute and healthy.
Not literally posting this stunning picture of Zendaya and saying his caption, his Instagram caption. Nah, stop it, hard eyes. An incredible achievement for the most incredible person. Congrats at Zendaya and at Luxury Law. You guys deserve every bit of this.
The way, though, and also the way that when I saw she got the, what did she get, like the CDFA Fashion Icon Award or whatever? Yeah. And she's like the youngest person to ever get it and like mm-hmm. whatever. And I knew this like was happening last night. I saw the photos of her last night at the event. Like she looked amazing. But I knew I would wake up and he would have posted something. I like knew in my heart, in my mind, like I had no doubt that he was going to post something just like absolutely gushing about her.
Yeah, I mean, he's obsessed, which I get.
Did you see the quotes from that magazine that have been circulating?
No.
About how he, like, he was, like, talking, like, someone brought up, like, Zendaya and his, like, birthday post for her and whatever. And it was, oh, quote, if you don't see Holland on socials, don't worry. Quote, I'm very happy. I'm very happy and in love. My friends are great. My family are great. And everyone's happy and healthy.
No, but it's amazing.
Like, people have truly told me and tried to poison my joy
poison
by
your
saying
mind.
That it's a PR stunt. And I don't care. How about that? Keep your negativity out of my Zen space.
If you were dating Zendaya, you'd do the fucking same thing. So don't be a hater, everyone.
Also, even if it is fake, like, he definitely is obsessed with her anyway.
Yes! It's amazing! It's fucking amazing! Oh, and anyone that doesn't think that, once again, what did I say earlier? Anyone that doesn't, like, what is a pick me? I don't remember what I said.
Adam Driver?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Anyone that doesn't like Adam Driver is a pick me. Anyone that doesn't like Zendaya and Tom Holland dating, pick me.
Pick me.
Pick me.
Oh, yes. I was like,
it's like a pick me person. Like, yes. They just want to be different. Like,
right.
There's.
Congratulations. You're too cool for fun things.
For nice things. When the world gives you and delivers you a nice package wrapped beautifully, you open it and you say thank you.
You say thank you very much. Eternals, Adam Driver, Tom Daya.
Like, just.
Nice things.
Just be appreciative, please. Like, it's too much. It's people really trying to steal my joy.
Always.
But all of that to say, Tom Holland, please keep being obsessed with Zendaya. Thank
keep
you.
Being an Instagram boyfriend. And
it's everything I want
in my
life.
Congrats, Zendaya, on your CDFA award. I cannot wait for the press tour for Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, the looks. The love.
The looks.
The looks and the love. I can't.
The looks and the love. It's going to be amazing.
Okay. Should we... I'm deleting this one because it's kind of a downer and I feel like we're on a high right now.
Okay.
Should we do...
Yes.
Father, son, and house of Gucci. I mean, y'all. It's such a beautiful time in life when the stars collide in such a way that brings you nothing but infinite joy and happiness. And House of Gucci is that for me. Like,
literally,
the way that every day we are absolutely blessed with content. Lady Gaga is not fucking sparing us anything. She is giving us everything that she has. And
it's absolutely stunning at the premiere. Like, truly gorgeous. The look was fire, fire flames. And we got our wish, which was that, I believe we made this wish on this podcast.
Yes.
Which is that her and Adam Driver would have interactions on this press tour. And they have had interactions, like beyond our wildest dreams, I think.
It's the hugging.
The hugging.
The smiling.
The smiles from Adam. Just
The ill-fitting suit from Adam.
I know. Did he
wanted the suit to be better, but you know what? I can't ask for more.
There were a lot of jokes.
My cup runneth over.
Your cup does runneth over.
So I can't ask for more.
So we can settle for the the ill-fitting suits from Adam Driver.
Yeah.
I mean, all the jokes from the red carpet when it was like him and Jared Leto and Gaga, and it was like Adam Driver looks like their lawyer.
Literally.
But the reviews of the film are that it's a uproarious good time.
It is.
I don't know if that's even a word. Maybe not like the best movie ever, but certainly the most fun.
And it is. I know it is.
Wait, we are seeing it next a week from today,
which is so good because I was so nervous we were going to not be able to see it together.
I know.
But we are. Meg got us tickets.
We're going to special screening at AMC
because we are special.
We are VIPs, and we will certainly have a
blast.
A blast, and we will have a review and a recap for you. But truly, Giselle, congratulations on all your good fortune this week with Adam Driver and Lady Gaga. It truly is like,
thank you,
the stuff of dreams. Like, hey now, thank hey you. Now, this is what dreams are made of.
It's really been such a bright light in the darkness that it happens at 4:30 p.m.
Yes, because this has been the first week of daylight savings, and they do be saving daylight though.
They do. So yes, thank you for that. I know this is something that matters also to you. So
yes.
I am thrilled about that for us. And now we move on to our final topic, which is very exciting, but also it's the first installment of our new segment, Wellness Check.
Yes, it is indeed. We got a few submissions, and if we do not do your submission today, we will do it in the future. So thank you for those who did.
Thank you.
We'll also put up another box next, or maybe tomorrow or next week, for some more suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
But today's has to do with something that we haven't talked about because the news dropped late last week.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the Wicked movie cast has at long last been announced. And
been announced.
It is none other than Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande has been wanting this role forever.
And you know that I was against it.
I know. I mean, here's the thing that I've come to. Ariana Grande is going to sound amazing, and I love her. I think this is going to be good for Cynthia Erivo's career, and I love that for her.
Me too.
I love this for Cynthia Erivo is where I really... And I love this for Ari, but, like, she doesn't need this. Cynthia Erivo, I hope this skyrockets her into unamountable, whatever the word is, fame. Like, because Cynthia Erivo is so talented and, like, deserves. And also, I think he's dating Lena Waithe. Did you know that?
She's also best friends, She's also best friends with Shoshana Bean, who played Elphaba.
If you haven't heard their rendition of "There Can Be Miracles If You Believe," please go to Spotify immediately and listen because it's.
I mean, any of
so
their
magical.
Duets, they've done a bunch. They've done like pop covers. They're just probably two of the most talented singers gracing this planet. So. Definitely go check them out, like Giselle said. But I was against it. I've kind of accepted it. And, you know, I love Ari, so, like, I'm going to eat this up. Like, it's going to be... I think it's going to be good. John M. Chu is directing.
Which means they'll be dancing.
They'll be dancing. There'll be sparkles. There'll be big sets. Like,
yes.
I mean, we liked In the Heights. I liked Crazy Rich Asians even more.
He did all of the Step Up, or not all of them, or some of the Step Up movies.
Yeah, so he just, like, is someone who has a handle on what he's doing, and so I think, like, this is going to be good. Did you see that, before we get into our wellness check, did you see that there's a petition online that has, like, 50,000 signatures to make sure that James Corden is not in the Wicked movie?
Please, it's all I want. It's all... please, like, have a backbone. America.
Anything, please. Like, anyone else. The other thing is that Mark Platt is producing the Wicked movie.
Of course. Where will Ben be?
So basically everyone's like, okay, well, like, Ben Platt is obviously gonna be Bach.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, his Ben Platt's brother, his older brother, did play Fiero.
Oh, Broadway. Really?
So we'll see. Obviously, the way they're going with casting is it doesn't matter what age they are, so it could be anybody.
Also, before we even get into this wellness check, I don't like this girl, but I know Lea Michele is upset.
Did you see Kiki Palmer was on What Watch What Happens Live?
And they asked her, they're like, how's Lea?
And he was like, were you surprised your friend Lea Michele's not in the Wicked movie? She's not in the Funny Girl reboot. And Kiki was fully like, they were in Scream Queens together, which was mm-hmm. a great show.
And they asked her about Ari, who was in like one episode.
Yeah. And Kiki was like, oh, she's like, wow. Yeah. She's like, you know what? I haven't heard from Lea in a while. She's like, how is Lea? Where is Lea? And Karamo. And who was the bartender again?
I don't remember, but I saw Karamo.
But it was like Karamo and the bartender were like looking under cushions like, yeah, where is Lea?
I mean.
She is currently rehearsing for a Spring Awakening reunion thing with Jonathan Groff and like the whole original cast of Spring Awakening. So this is going to be her gateway back into the good graces of the public, I'm sure.
Of course, she's waiting. Okay.
She's coming.
She is coming. So time for our wellness check. And that is none other than another person who was on the docket potentially to be in the Wicked movie. And that would be none other than Dove Cameron,
Dove
everyone.
Cameron. Yes, and thank you, Grace, for submitting.
Yes. And if you don't know who Dove Cameron is, we'll give you a little background quickly, and then we'll tell you what the fuck she's doing. So, Dove Cameron, everyone, is a Disney star, basically. Like, you know how we have our Miley and Selena and Demis, who, like, first of all, I don't know if any Disney star will ever amass that level of fame. But Dove Cameron is, like, the younger generation's version of that. So, she was on a show, Liv and Maddie, where she played both Liv and Maddie. And
they were twins.
She won a Daytime Emmy for that show. And then she got into the younger generation's weird version of High School Musical, which I've seen all three, of course.
Yeah, me too.
Which is The Descendants, which low-key Kenny Ortega smashed.
It kind of pops off.
No,
she
it
was
popped
also
off.
In Hairspray Live.
Yes.
She played Amber. She is friendly with Kristen Chenoweth and Ariana Grande.
Yes.
Obviously, Kristen Chenoweth is the OG Glinda.
Yes. And so that's kind of where she is. Dove Cameron is not shy from very public relationships that end a bit haywire, sideways. She first dated a man, I believe his name was Michael?
Ryan McCartan.
Ryan McCartan, thank you. Ryan McCartan,
they met on
Liv and Maddie.
They did a
band.
A little music duo together. It was called The Girl and the Dreamcatcher.
I hate it. But yes, they did that. And they were literally engaged when she was like 18. And
yep.
I obviously, like, you know, allegedly, he was verbally and physically abusive to Dove Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
So
they broke up like
they
very,
broke up.
I remember when they broke up.
Which is
it
good.
It was very abrupt and everyone was like, what's going on? And he was like doing all the posting and stuff on social media.
And he was in, like, this was like he when was he was like, in Rocky Horror.
Yes, he was in. And like, she like eventually, like, she like was like kind of silent and he was like popping off that she like broke his heart and like whatever, and then eventually she came out and was like, well, like, I was abused basically, and it was
yes.
an abusive relationship and a controlling relationship, and it was like really unhealthy.
Yes. And Dove Cameron has a bit of like a hard past, trigger warning for
yes.
everyone, but her father actually committed suicide.
Yeah,
so this is something she talks about a lot, and I think he called her Dove, which is why
yes,
she has
why
the
she
name Dove Cameron
her, yeah.
So,
her real name's Chloe.
And her other public relationship was none other than Thomas Doherty. of Gossip Girl fame. Yep. And they were like obsessed with each other on Instagram. It was very much giving like too much, basically.
It was giving like deep emotional attachment.
It was giving like Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, but like sparkles instead of like spice.
Like, yeah, but like truly like would go on those kind of rants, like my little literal angel from heaven, like
my heart out of sight of my body existing and walking in the earths. Like, literally. What they would say.
Way too much.
They broke up like last year, 2 years ago. Yes. So now
it was pretty amicable breakup.
Yes. We are ready for the wellness check after the background we've given you. And I don't know if you all know this, but Dove Cameron, her most recent project, but also the most recent thing she was cast in, is the live action Powerpuff Girls reboot called Powerpuff. She will be playing Bubbles. It went into production and had to be rewritten. So that's really, I mean, she's also in Schmigadoon, but this is the main thing that's a bit like, yikes.
I've heard a lot of really good things about her in Schmigadoon.
Yes.
Like, genuinely, I want to say that. Like, she got great reviews for it. She's a very talented girl. Like,
she sings. She's super talented. You love her song, Lazy Baby?
I love her song, Lazy Baby. It's going to be in my top 100 songs of 2021. Yes. I already know that. She also, so basically, the reason this wellness check was commissioned was because basically, God, like at this point, I don't know, like 6 months ago, 5 months ago, whatever. Basically, like she cryptically posts like on social media that like she just had a meeting for like her dream project and that she's like so excited about something. And none other than fellow clown Jordan Fisher. Like, I can't get him off like,
my fucking TikTok.
Excitement. And so everyone was like, oh my gosh, like, is Dove Cameron going to be Glinda in the Wicked movie? She obviously has Kristen Chenoweth as a mentor. They're in Schmigadoon together. They were in Hairspray Live together. Like, they have a close relationship. Kristen Chenoweth plays her mom in the Descendants movies. So it kind of felt like she was being, like, passed the torch, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, nothing kind of.
She definitely auditioned.
She definitely auditioned, and I feel like she probably did that to, like, maybe, like, stir up, like, some, like, press for herself. You know what I mean? Because, let me tell you, at least not yet, there hasn't been any exciting project announced. She's working. I know she is working on an EP because she tweeted on November 8th, I am writing my EP all day and all night, and I don't think of or see anything else except this EP.
I think she's maybe working with Phineas on it because she's now been bestie. She's been popping up on Claudia Saluski's Instagram with her and Phineas for like the last year. Like all of a sudden, like she is besties with Claudia Saluski. And where there's a Claudia Saluski, there's a Phineas with a little guitar.
There is a Phineas. But other than that, she has dyed her hair brown. I don't know if you saw this.
I did not.
But she has dyed her hair brown.
So I guess she's not filming Powerpuff Girls right now.
No.
They're rewriting
it.
So.
I mean, like, I don't know if that's even gonna happen. Like, we shall see. But she was at the CFDA. I think I called it CDFA before. Sorry. CFDA. Yes. Mm-hmm. Fashion Awards last night. She was, like, taking photos with Rachel Zegler. And she has brown hair now. So, much like me in the spring of 2021, she's probably going through a crisis.
Her Instagram is giving crisis.
Well, that's something else that I wanted to bring up about her. Is that, I don't know if anyone follows the account Problematic Fame on Instagram, but it's an account I often send to you, Giselle.
Yeah.
Basically points out celebrities when they Photoshop their photos and Photoshop their faces. And let me just tell you, Dove Cameron is a frequent flyer on Problematic Fame.
She's a queen of Photoshopping.
And she is the queen of Photoshopping. I mean, it's really so unfortunate because she's such a beautiful girl.
Stunning.
She's obviously had work done. And even at that, continues to just, like, Photoshop her photos to where she doesn't, I'm just going to say it, doesn't even look human.
No, it's really,
really, really dark and really scary. Another thing about her is that she took that death of that her
Cameron
star in I was about to say Eternals, Descendants, Cameron Boyce, really hard as well. I just think Dove Cameron has a lot of demons.
She's a lot of demons.
we do be talking about demons on this podcast a lot. But that's our wellness check on her. She's working on her EP. She has brown hair now.
She was demons. In Schmigadoon, and she's maybe going to be in the Powerpuff reboot if they actually do it.
If it happens.
Again.
Demons. But she is not going to be Glinda. That is Ariana Grande.
Yes.
So that's our wellness check on Dove Cameron.
So there you have it, everyone. There
first
is our wellness
chapter
check.
Chapter of the new segment.
That is... our podcast.
Check. That's it. That's all she wrote.
That is all she wrote.
We caught up on all the things we needed to talk about for the most part.
I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us too. So yeah, rate, review, subscribe. Please review. We haven't gotten a review in so long.
Please.
And it's a bit rude. I'm not gonna lie.
It's a bit rude that you continuously listen to the podcast and then you don't immediately go to Apple Music and just leave us a cheeky review. It's so easy.
It's just absolutely
rude.
Rude.
Bonkers, honestly.
Bloody hell. Not me, not Hermione.
You. But yeah, there it is. We hope you all enjoyed this episode. Definitely leave a wellness check. And love you, Meg.
Love you, Jean.